today is the 20, what, 22nd? 20, what day? 21st. 21st of April, interview with Mr. Shula. Okay, I think the thing is, looks like it's going very well, so we can just start talking.
Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to tell us how you first became involved with the rocket program, when did you...
Well, I graduated in November, wait a minute, when the war started in September 1939, I made diploma engineer in technical physics, as they called it, and took my first job to Rheinmetall-Borsig in Düsseldorf.
With whom?
Rheinmetall-Borsig in Düsseldorf. And there, I was only for a few weeks, and suddenly I got a card, you are ordered to report at the Heeresverfügungsstelle Peenemünde.
You were ordered to wear that?
No, I was ordered. It was a card, just like when you attached it to the army.
Okay.
So, you have it on again?
That's all right, yeah, we're on, back on the air.
Okay. it really is a small card. It even says, it is printed, which says Esbesteck and zwei Decken sind mitzubringen, which means silver and two blankets have to be brought along.
Do you have this card still?
No, I don't. And I shot this card to my boss. It's Rheinmetall-Borsig in Düsseldorf, and he said, don't worry, I fix this. And so I didn't worry and went on working. It was on a Monday morning. It was a registered card. And on a Monday morning, and by Wednesday, I got a call from the local office who is connected with that kind of thing, if I don't want to report in Peenemünde. By the way, I never could have, it said on the card, which I received Monday morning, that I should be there at 6 o'clock in the evening Monday, which was impossible. And so I didn't go, and they called me, and I said, told my boss that not to go, and change the walls, and we say, you go. And so I did go.
What were you doing at Rheinmetall?
I had the choice when I just had graduated as a diploma engineer, and I had the choice between such material, you know what a such material is, or the rifling rings on bullets, say, were of copper, and they needed some other material because copper was shortage material in Germany. So I had, in the short time I was there, I had worked on using soft iron instead of copper and things of that sort. And the other was to determine the model of, you know, when you calculate the strength of a bullet, the ball strength, you use a imperial factor, the model of elasticity, which was determined by static testing. Mm-hmm. And since the gun is a dynamic thing, they wanted me to invent something to determine a dynamic factor.
Mm-hmm. That's what you did. Okay. So then you got the car and you went to Peenemünde.
I got the card, I went to the, nobody really knew where Peenemünde was. It was in Düsseldorf, it's at the west coast, the Rhine River, and nobody knew where Peenemünde was. Went to the railroad station, and they didn't know it because Peenemünde didn't have a railroad station. So it said Peenemünde on the island of Usedom, and they had a railroad card, a ticket for Usedom. It was the city and the island of Usedom. So they gave me a ticket to Usedom, and when I was in Usedom, they knew where Peenemünde was. So that's how I came to Peenemünde. And then went to the personnel office, and I had again a choice. If I wanted to be in guidance and control, what was called at that time guidance and control, or in instrument development. and I selected instrument development because I realized that God in control is probably a more fancy thing than instrument development, but I was not strong in electronics, what is called electronics, and I liked instrumentation, and by now I got so many awards and citations in instrumentation that I probably did better than I would have in guidance and control. So by choosing instrumentation, instrument development, I was the first to do that, which was naturally a great advantage. So it says here, although it doesn't say on that thing, but on the when I got that fellowship, the pioneer in instrumentation and so on and so on. And so I was instrument development all the time, and especially for testing, ground testing. For ground testing. By the way, we did use, at that in the beginning, it was not that strict differentiation, so many of the measurements during flight grew out of our organization. Only later it was separated organizationally, that there was one for ground and another for test. In the beginning, everything was done by us. Yeah, and we did not have telemeters at that time, so we even had in the missile, which was not the V2 at that time. We called the V2, we called A4. And there was a smaller missile, A6, a one-ton missile, which was fired, and we had a small oscilloscope in the missile to record the measurement, and the thing was always fired in a small on a small island on the Baltic Sea, and it was recovered. And the oscilloscope was waterproof all around. That was always a special, which I didn't do personally, but it was done in our organization to make that thing, to adjust everything and ready for measurement and still have it waterproof. It was something.
And this is what you worked on essentially during the years?
Well, I was essentially developing instruments for ground measurements, flow meters, force measurements, pressure measurements, recording, ink recorder, oscilloscope, dynamometers for we distinguished at that time already between qualitative and quantitative. We always had different sensors, if you want to call it that way, for accurate measurements, which is quantitative, but they were not fast enough in response or so, and we had others which would have had a fast speed of response, but were not so accurate and were recorded on a oscilloscope. So we called that qualitative. So we had really these two separate lines, for quantitative, which was important for the engineers to do calculations, and qualitative to see how the reaction is.
Tell me this, were you in Pinamonte during the entire period?
Yes.
You were doing the air raids?
From November 39.
From November 39.
As I said, I the war started on September 1st.
Right.
And I actually was supposed to make exam in November 39. So I didn't have exam in November 1st. So we were sitting at the university and made politics and didn't do anything. And suddenly I got a notice that probably there is an examination for diploma engineer, or master's degree, you might call it, on Monday in such and such a room in such and such a subject. And probably I went there. There was one other student who had taken it, was an option subject. So we spent all Sunday to prepare ourselves for this subject, and really there was an examination, and when we came out we got a fixed schedule. Mm-hmm. The secretary of It has a fixed schedule, and the week later I was the dominant.
And you stayed in Peenemunde. Could you recollect some of your latter days, the last month or two at Peenemunde, what it was like there, what people talked about, what you thought was going to happen, and also how you left, the details of how you left Peenemunde.
That's
a very interesting area for us.
They started to shift us. Before they started the shift, had picked out so-called key personnel, and I was one of these key personnel.
You know when that
when
was?
You were going to be shifted where?
Wait a minute. They shifted everything. That key personnel, I should come later. First, when the Russians came close to Peenemunde, when the Russians came close to Peenemunde, they started to prepare trains full of people, usually by organizational.
Could you tell us a little bit about this? What it felt like being there, and what did you do? Were you working?
If I take you tell you the very personal, you do not hold it to some degree. It was the following. Actually, normally the trains which were used for that movement from Peenemünde to Middle Germany, that was first to Middle Germany, to Bleicherode, and in our case, because I was in Test, it was not Bleicherode, but it was Le Heesten.
What was the train?
Le Heesten, L-E-H-E-S-T-E-N.
And where
that
is that?
That is near Ludwigsburg or Ludwigstadt. And it is on the Bavarian-Thuringian grenze. Bayern-Thuringian grenze, somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all the test division was there.
Yeah, and the reason was that before all that, they had, when the bombing in Peenemünde had ruled out that the V2s could be made in Peenemünde, they had started the mass production underground in Nordhausen, you know that, and each combustion chamber had one hot test, one firing, hot test, and that was done near Heesten, there were two quarries, and these quarries, do you probably know Schiefer, you know where we used to tarp it? It's that black, we used it when we went to school in the first grade, we wrote on that thing, and that's what was gotten out of these quarries. And they had a very steep wall in these quarries, and one of these quarries was used for such testing, as I said, and they had in the mountain again a tunnel type thing where they produced liquid oxygen in the mountain and set up the testing and everything on a kind of a vehicle in the mountain, and then rolled it out and fired. Rolled it back.
I see. Yeah. I probably have some pictures in my file, which I'll show you later.
Yeah.
To describe.
They arranged everything, the combustion chamber, for that fire.
I see.
And the liquid oxygen was also produced in that mountain, and rolled it out, fired, rolled it back. This was an industrial, it was naturally somewhat supervised or arranged by Peenemünde, but it was an industrial concern, a company who did that.
Do you remember the name of that company?
I do not. I remember the name of the director of that.
Who was that?
That was Mr. Fuchs, F-U-C-H-S.
Do we have his name? The director of that whole test area.
Well, Hambrich should know that because after we had come there, it was so that there was besides this quarry where they really had the testing going for a year, two or three already. You know, they had already, it was 45, I guess they started that in 43 or so.
Probably after the bombing, yeah.
Yeah. And so this was already a running thing, and that Mr. Fuchs was the director of that.
Do you know where he is now?
No.
He didn't come to the United States?
No.
But he is in Germany, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you know who would know where he is?
Hamburg.
Hamburg.
Close.
Okay.
There was, besides this quarry, there was another quarry, and Hamburg, after we had moved from Peenemünde into there, actually I skipped all the story, how we did.
Yeah, well, that we want to,
we'll
go back to that in a minute.
Okay.
Finish this.
But, for Hambrich it was a question to establish again a developmental testing. And since there was already so much there in that one quarry where Mr. Fuchs tested his A4 or V2 combustion chambers, Hambrich tried to squeeze himself in. And Hambrich and I happened to be the next in command after Hambrich, in charge for measurements.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So Hambrich and I went there to talk to Fuchs, and Fuchs was very friendly and showed lots of understanding and others laughed, but his answer was no. And Hambrich, he shouted and tried to really get him in, but still his answer was no. I remember that because it don't, I put it quickly.
It's all right, either way, 25 years or more, no.
Yeah.
Was Fuchs a villain?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it just amazed me because after we left, Hambrich and I drove in the car back to Leiston, that was a little bit outside of Leiston, and he said, I gave it to him, and I left and thought, he gave it to you. But,
No, do you have anything more about that? Or do you want to go back to how you got down there?
Yeah, I guess we should go back.
Tell us a little bit what it was like to you. How did you continue to work? Or?
All right.
What was the departure preparation?
I had mentioned a while ago, I had mentioned that they had started to arrange trains to move people, mostly to Bleicherode. And one day it was arranged that the test people would be attached to one of these trains. The train was partly for people who go to Bleicherode and partly for people who go to Leiston. Mm-hmm. That's how we deviated from that story because of Leiston.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so that as I mentioned before, the vehicles of that train were usually bedded out already from pumping and so on, in bad shape. But Peenemünde had, for going forth and back to Peenemünde, back to Trinity. And so we had what they called S-Bahn in Berlin, like subway trains. So very modern, comfortable trains. And we instrument people could manage to get two such trains for our instrumentation. Yeah. And naturally we kept enough space. We kept enough space in these things for ourselves. Yeah. So we had about four or five families in these two deluxe trains. Though we drove to the Houston, to Bleicherode, excuse me. One guy who was in charge of that train, he stood in Bleicherode and I had to take over for our two wagons plus the other thing. I was in charge from Bleicherode to Houston. That was a terrible thing.
Could you go back a little bit now into Sina Mundi? When you got ready for this move, was there any? I understand there were some problems. You had conflicting orders and so forth about some elements of the authorities wanted the people to stay there. Could you paint a little bit of the atmosphere, what it was like those last days, the last weeks? What did you talk about amongst yourselves? What did you think was going to happen?
And actually, when we left, I don't think we personally heard the Russian guns. I know from people who stood longer and came, who just crossed the bridge. Peenemünde was in the island of Usedom, as I mentioned before, and there was railroad bridge near Peenemünde, and another bridge to the mainland near Wolgast, which was for cars and as a transportation. And that man who stood till the end, he happened to be my deputy for some time, Mr. Schwartz, Friedrich Schwartz, S-C-H-W-A-R-Z.
Is he here?
He was. He worked with me for some time, but he later left and went into the art industry and died in the meantime.
When did you meet him?
Well, it was it. I happened this way because my wife's birthday happened to be while we were on the train.
Oh, when is her?
And that
birthday?
Is March 9th.
March
9th.
Yeah. March 9th, and that was as I mentioned to you, we were a group of let's say 5-6 couples. I do not know if they had any. Oh yeah, we had one son. So there were children too with us.
What was the atmosphere? I mean, you left your home. Did you leave everything there? Did you bring some things with you?
We didn't have a home.
You didn't.
We didn't have a home, and I doubt that anybody had a home. Yeah. Everything was rented.
But even that, so you must have had some books and private possessions. Could you bring those with you?
All right. For the books, there was. Before we left personally, there was several times they had shipments of, in my case, books. Yeah, it was actually Arsenal or work-connected property, which could be shipped on a ship. They had some ships, I don't know, if they went down the river or something, I do not remember exactly. But I never saw him again. I had all my books, and you know that ADM I got to mm-hmm. university, mm-hmm. I had that, and I lost all that, and I lost many of the books you see here, which I bought again.
What was the environment like, though, in the last days of Sina Mundi? Was it mostly packing and getting ready to go? What did you think was going to happen to you? What sort of thoughts did you have?
We still thought that's the way it goes. It still will go on. It was and the people around me were not desperate or excited, I think that's the way. It's just one of the things, the enemies come closer and closer, and we have to move away from Peenemünde to Mittel Germany. That was the first idea, that we go to Mittel Germany near Pleißerode, and because we were in test, we had to go to Lehi.
What about Leutenberg?
How is that?
Leutenberg.
It's near Pleißerode, isn't it?
There were test stands
in Austria. But I don't think it was Leutenberg. But it could be. So long now. There was, you could find out more about that. There was one, you know, besides that V2, the combustion chamber testing in the Houston, there was also a combustion chamber testing far, very down near the Arch, or close to Friedrichshafen. There's a separate work of urine. And it could be that
that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I have been there myself.
You've been there in that combustion chamber?
I have been at that other because there was a trouble, there was an explosion. It was also underground. Or hydrogen production, liquid oxygen production was underground, and there was an explosion. And we happened to develop a, I do not know which book would be good for anything.
Yeah. Keep talking about it.
And so I had to go down there because we had developed the instrument for oxygen detection, which was gases, oxygen detection, you know. Because that explosion was caused by oxygen-rich atmosphere in the tunnel or in the underground. Just an ordinary incandescent bulb would get kaput, break, and that would be enough to start an explosion. And that had happened down there, and I had to go there because we had developed the instrument to detect oxygen content in such gas. We had developed it first for detecting oxygen-rich atmosphere in the, what we call HEC, in the tail section of the V2. Yeah, because there were explosions there too, and how that was done. And I was considering that. That was in January.
In January 45?
No, I would say it could be. I was down there. Mr. Weidner, he was in charge of that operation.
Mm-hmm.
And he should know everything about that. And if Leutenberg, I wasn't sure that this was the right name.
Also, I
because,
wonder,
yeah.
Lupnin.
Yeah, look mean. Look mean. Somebody from the garden said, "You know, Crow. He probably
He
probably.
Because I don't know what.
I guess look mean. Pansin, look mean sounds very familiar. Pansin is actually on the island of Usedom, a little bit south of Peenemünde, and after Peenemünde was bombed. The garden people, they moved to I guess Lubmin, which is in the Bansin area. While we stood in Peenemünde because we had to stay with the sestern.
So you were with the sestern?
Yeah, I was with the sestern, and we stood in Peenemünde Bubble all to the end. Yeah.
Well,
while garden, they moved away a little bit south of Peenemünde.
Pardon?
Well, immediately after the big bombing we had in Peenemünde, and I guess you have all that.
Yes, well,
yeah,
quite a bit. Unless you have a story you want to tell about it.
Well, the only story I have to tell is there was an alarm. Actually, we got very cold against things of that sort. We didn't camp. Yeah, there were alarms before.
Oh,
and we had a shelter down in the basement. A shelter was prepared, what they called Luftschutzbunk.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my last one.
Ready? The bombing.
Oh, yeah. that we had always a suitcase ready with the most essential thing for a ready pack for a tag or so. And there was an alarm to sign through and things of that sort. So my wife and I said it was about close to midnight. And I stood in bed. And she looked into the window and suddenly she said, "Get out, get out." They said Christmas trees. We call it Christmas trees, which were lights.
Lily knows about the Christmas trees now.
And
how nice of the British to drop Christmas trees.
And so I jumped out of bed in my pants and got the suitcase and we went down the shoulder.
You already had everything ready before?
That the suitcase was always.
What did you always have the important papers in there?
That's what I say, yeah. There was a suitcase.
All ready to go.
Was always right in the bedroom, right at the wall. Always ready to crap and run in search. And that's what I did when she said, they said Christmas tree. I turned out of bed in my pants and got the suitcase. And the son, we had a, was in 45, our oldest son was born in 42.
Mm-hmm.
So, and went down in the shoulder, and we hardly had been there. The first bombs were dropped right in front of our house. We lived right at the sea, at the beach. And the first bombs went in the sea. But you can imagine it was closed, and our windows were all, the air pressure shattered the windows, and we had cupboards in the kitchen with some dishes and things of that sort, which was all blown out, and things of that sort. And that was only a very short thing, then not helped anymore. And that was the signal. People had set the light wrong. You know, they were supposed to set the light.